This is Jim Engster. Thank you for joining us for Talk Louisiana. Signature support comes from First Financial Tax and Accounting Services. We're 12 weeks away from an election, and we, of course, will be talking about that as we move forward in the next 84 days. And we might even talk about it with our first guest, but he's here primarily for another reason, Noel Hammett. Four-term East Baton Rouge Parish School Board member, now retired. That's 16 years on the school board. And a professor at LSU. He even came on this show many moons ago, about a decade ago, and switched parties from Republican to Democratic. And he is passionately backing Joseph Robinette Biden for the presidency. But independent of that, he's fighting a terminal diagnosis of brain cancer. He was operated on July 19th, and it was the worst of all prognosis. He was given limited time to live the rest of his days after receiving a diagnosis of glioblastoma stage 4. And he's a brave man. He went into hospice yesterday, but he is in our studio. And if you'd like to join the conversation, 877-217-5757. And you can reach us at talk@talklouisiana.org. Now, in the past, we've had guests on this show who were days away from their final day. Mike Dunn, the remarkable writer, reporter for The Advocate, was with us. And I remember him saying that people will talk about a lot of things, but rarely do they want to talk about the end, death. And Noel, you, to your credit, have consented to do this, and I know it's not easy. You have loved ones who are listening, and I'm sure their hearts are torn apart by your battle, but you're doing it gallantly. How do you respond to what's happened in the last month?
Well, the easiest way to say it is I've been given an incredible gift. Many of us don't know. Many of us are taken from us at the last minute, and we don't know. We don't get to say goodbyes or deal with issues that we want to take care of before we go. And I've been given this wonderful opportunity to spend. My daughter was able, in spite of a worldwide pandemic, to make her way back from Germany. She's living in a neighbor's house right next door to it. The neighbor's up in Maine. She's an endowed professor at LSU, and she gave her house. So she's going to be starting to teach at Loyola in Southeastern in a week or two. And so she's living next door to us. Our son lives a couple of blocks away. And Terry and I are just so glad to have everybody together and have this time together. It's a wonderful time. I'm the luckiest guy in the world.
Well, Noel's had a full life. He was a professor, as noted, at LSU. He also was in the military for 8 years. Army?
I was in the U.S. Army and then the National Guard, yes.
And a sergeant when you left the service.
Yeah,
and we thank you for your service.
Sergeant. Thank you.
And born in December of 1957, if I remember correctly.
You do, as always.
Well, and perhaps that explains the name Noel.
Noel.
And Noel Hammett, you have to realize now you may not make it to December. And it's a sobering thing because right now you're obviously totally lucid. You know what's going on, and you know the diagnosis. When you first heard that you had a limited time, what was the immediate reaction?
Actually, before the doctor had gotten the pathology, I had done some research online and had figured out that I had glioblastoma and knew the data on that. At the time, it was a 12 to 15-month expected lifespan with less than 25% making it through the first year. But the bottom line is, you know, I came out of surgery. The pressure was gone. I went into surgery. I was partially paralyzed. I'd been unable to stand up, was falling down, and thought it was a heat stroke. And so when the doctor came in and based on the first scan said, "We found a mass in your brain," and I think everybody, when you hear that, the first thought is, "Oh, that's not what I wanted to hear." But when I came out of surgery, I was home in 2 days. Which is a miracle mm-hmm. in itself.
And they didn't even shave your head.
They didn't shave my head. I told them when I went in, I said, "This is the best haircut I've had. My wife loves it. Please don't mess with my hair." And he did a great job.
And you're here. You're talking about this. And again, if you'd like to join the conversation, and I know this is difficult, but there are people who have lost loved ones, and there are those of us who may have to fight this ourselves. The number is 877-217-5757. I saw the average age for a diagnosis of this kind is 64, and Noel is 62. And my mother died of the same thing at 74, and it was about a six-month process, and she got pneumonia, and that, of course, put her in a tailspin, and she did not get out of it, and ended up dying as a relatively young person, and had been in complete health, working at 73 up until her diagnosis. Now, Noel, did you have any inkling as far as confusion or anything like that prior to headaches, anything like that prior to what you were talking about, having difficulty standing?
Yeah, it's an interesting tumor. It doubles in size every 7 weeks. And 7 weeks, almost to the day before they took the tumor out, the mass and two smaller tumors, I had just an incredible headache one night, to the point where I said, I need some kind of pain relief. I had not had a pain pill, even an aspirin, for 2 years. It hit me fast. And we thought maybe it was something else, maybe an abscess or something. But even one of the doctors that looked at me said, you know, you might want to see a neurologist. But the pain kind of went away. And one of the warning things is, when you have an unexplained pain in your body, you probably need to go see your doctor. And I know several people who have had cancer but the pain goes away. And so I went several weeks without any pain. But towards the end, I thought I was experiencing heat stroke. I was having disorientation. I was falling down. I would forget where I was.
Mm-hmm.
And that was in the week leading up to this.
So they removed the tumor.
They did.
And that probably helped a lot of this.
When it relieved the pressure, it was like this incredible new lease on life. I no longer was hurting. By the end, the pain was excruciating. And once they took the tumor out, I was walking around the hospital. The neurologist said I was doing fine, no problems, and they think they got everything. And, of course, it was when the pathology came back about a week later that they informed us that it was, in fact, the glioblastoma, and it was stage 4. And that is a tumor that begins in the brain for most people. It begins in the brain itself, and it's very hard to separate out because it's part of the tissue of the brain. They can't really excise it. They can't mm-hmm. take it out.
And you have chosen not to do radiation or chemotherapy.
That's correct.
Why?
For a lot of reasons, one of which is it's not unusual for people in my circumstance to face a short time, 3 to 5 months I was given, and he said with a very aggressive treatment, we might be able to extend that 3 to 5 months. But I'm, as you said, I'm very lucid, I'm very fit. I sit on my front porch. I can get around and clean and work in the yard. I didn't want to spend that time in bed. I didn't want to spend it for spending 3 to 6 months in treatment. I could get an extra 3 to 5 months, possibly. Mm-hmm. And to me, that's not a trade-off I want to make. It's also a very expensive undertaking. It's probably a $500,000 set of procedures and with the radiation and chemo. And you know, there's a lot of money spent in the last years of life, and I think I have a great life right now. I'm surrounded by people who love me. I don't think we've cooked a meal since the surgery.
Uh-huh.
People have been just wonderful, and they've been gracious, and I want to spend this time saying thank you to people who have been a part of my life, and that's what I want to spend my life doing, is working for social justice, and that's how I've kind of focused I rededicated myself right after the surgery to focus on social justice, and I'm working with a number of groups that I've worked with over the year, but mostly with Brian Stevenson's work over in Montgomery, Alabama, with the Equal Justice Initiative. In fact, this is one of their shirts I'm wearing. So we've been doing some fundraising for them, and on my Facebook I put one of the buttons up, and it's been nice to know that some of my work is going to the man who wrote that beautiful book, Just Mercy, and the movie's out, and it's available for free online for anyone who wants to see it.
Raymond in North Baton Rouge. Raymond, you're on Talk Louisiana with Noel Hammett.
Hey, Jim and Noel. Hey, Noel, this is Raymond Almond.
Hey, Raymond. How's it going?
Good. Went to call in and send my love. You taught me so much, man. You were probably one of the most fiercest education advocates and education politicians that I've ever met. And so as I continue to do the work, look, I'll always keep you in my heart and mind. I am not as smart or fierce as you, but I'll do my best, man. So love you a lot, man.
Raymond. Thank you. And you are a fierce fighter for education and for the students, and I appreciate that.
How is your family responding?
My wife is incredibly strong. I mean, as I tell people, I was in Arnoville recently, and there were some wonderful ladies there that we were giving away some furniture and stuff from a house that we were thinking of buying and trying to buy. But they said, we're going to pray for you. And I said, could you do me a favor and pray for my wife and family? They're the ones that have to go on. I have a pretty easy life right now. I have a to-do list that I put together with the thanks of Google voice to text, because I can't really see my computer well. But it's about 7 pages. It's called Things to Do Before My Final Journey. And I just take my time doing that.
We're going to spend another segment with Noel Hammett. If you'd like to join the conversation, 877-217-5757. Our email is talk@talklouisiana.org. A brave man fighting a terminal diagnosis of brain cancer took out Ted Kennedy, Frank Zappa,
Joe Biden's son.
Joe Biden's son. We'll be back after this timeout. This is Jim Inkster. Thank you for joining us for Talk Louisiana, 877-217-5757, and talk@talklouisiana.org. David in Lafayette saying, dying scares me to pieces. I'm sorry to hear of your guest's medical situation. I would have hoped that research would have largely beaten this disease, a disease that I thought Ted Kennedy and Jimmy Carter had, which is true. One seems to have beaten it, but Jimmy Carter did not get a stage 4 glioblastoma diagnosis, as did Noel Hammett. He is in studio. 16 years he was on the East Baton Rouge Parish School Board. He made some friends and foes along the way. I remember one of his foes was Fred Dent, who died on the 12th of September 2010. It'll be 10 years next month. And you must think about the people you had collisions with. Those collisions now probably seem in some ways insignificant, don't they?
Well, there are so many people out there that have different views, and each of us grows up with a different set of circumstances. We're surrounded by friends who have a social milieu that might be different one from another, and so they move off in different directions. But the bottom line is, I think most people are good at heart, and they're trying to make a difference in the best way they know how.
877-217-5757 is your number. Still time to get in with Noel Hammett. Patrick in Innisfail Estates. Hi, Patrick. You're on with Noel.
Hey, Noel. This is Patrick McCarron. I don't know if I've ever officially met you, but we've, you know, agreed to disagree, I guess, on the school system. I'm a voucher proponent, of course. And
sure.
But I know that your heart's always been in the right place. And I know I used to... right under the pseudonym Being Stupid on the Advocate, when you could change your name.
I remember.
And we had some good debates, and they were always civil. We never really insulted each other or anything like that. But I always knew your heart was in the right place. I knew you do the Kiwanis pancake.
Right, the pancake festival.
Every year. Sure. Yeah, and I just want you to know I'm sorry to hear this, and I'm wishing, I'm hoping for the best, and I just want you to know I always knew your heart was in the right place, okay?
Thank you, Patrick. Thank you very much.
David at LSU. Hi, David. You're on with Noel. Hi, David.
Hi, Jim and Noel. It's Dave Kirshner from LSU.
I recognize that voice.
Okay. And, Noel, I am so devastated to hear this news, and I am not surprised at the strength you're showing as you go through this final ordeal of your life. I just wanted to tell you on my behalf that it has been a privilege to know you and to work with you all of these years at LSU. Noel, I'm in the same department that Noel was affiliated with at LSU, and I can't tell you how proud we have been of the work that you have done on behalf of education, your dedication to the school board, and the advocacy for issues that are close to all of our hearts as educators, that you really picked up the banner and you have really made an impact in the state and beyond the state with all the work that you have done. I'm so sorry that your time is coming to an end. I'm so proud of having known you and knowing you and of the incredible fierceness that continues to your end.
Oh, thank you, David. You are so kind. The bottom line is, David has been a friend for many years of public education, one of the few professors who was willing to stand up and testify when there were things that were being done to teachers out there that were, in many of our views, unfathomable what was being done. And Jim, if I could take one moment to just wish a very special teacher a happy birthday today. Sally Robichaux was out there on the front lines working to educate our next generation of children, and it's her birthday today, and I thank all the teachers for the work they do every day.
Dan downtown, thank you, David. Dan, you're on with Noel.
Yeah, I want to reiterate the honesty and forthrightness that you've demonstrated as a public servant. I took your deposition in the Crary versus School Board case.
I remember that well.
I appreciated your good work.
Thank you so much, Dan.
And Noel, as I mentioned about a decade ago on this show, switched parties. He had been a Republican, and he became a Democrat on this program, right in the same seat he's in right now.
That's correct.
As I mentioned, my dear sweet mother, who died with the same disease, and she happened to be a friend of Bill Clinton. She worked at the first Dillard's in Little Rock and used to sell him cosmetics, for whom we don't know, but it started when he was Attorney General of the great state of Arkansas, continued when he was governor, and she was very pleased that when she died in 1999 that he was the president. Noel, I know you're not a Trumpster. Are you going to try to outlive the man in the White House, or does that matter anymore?
Well, I you know, people say, fight and hang in there, and you mentioned bravery. What I believe is that when my time is done, and I've had this incredible time to be with my family and with the incredible work of the Hospice of Baton Rouge, a group that the Kiwanis Club I'm affiliated with helped start many years ago. And for years, I put up their Christmas tree every year, about a 40-foot tree downtown at different places. But with their help and their gracious work of their nurses and others, we will have a wonderful time as we prepare. And it's just a wonderful gift that we've been given to have this time. And I thank everyone who's been so gracious and wonderful to us.
You deflected that question quite nicely. That's okay. You're a tough guy, if I remember correctly. I've seen Noel at Louis for many years. You had both knees replaced
I had bilateral total knee replacement, and one of them worked, and the other one, it was kind of funny when they finally, after many years of struggling, the doctors, the surgeons got together, and they said, "We know exactly what you need to do with your knee." And I said, "What's that?" And the doctor said, the Latin, I think, is suck it up. And just deal with the fact that that knee won't bend anymore. So it's, and I wanted to get the knee surgeries because my wife is a lover of hiking in the mountains and biking, and neither of those have I been able to do. But nonetheless, she stuck with me, and 40 years later, we're still together, and she'll be starting a new life very soon.
Mm-hmm. And you have a legacy, your wife, your family, your career.
Two beautiful kids.
Your career. Some people don't care about that when they're dying, but others care about it a lot. Do you think about what you've done and what you wish you had done?
I don't spend a lot of time wishing for things. I spend a lot of time in meditation, and meditation is about what is. And I do look back and think about the fact that we built the first new schools in 30 years in Baton Rouge, and some of the schools we built are just incredibly beautiful structures, and the education that takes place within them. The new Lee High School. I went to Lee High School.
Yeah,
it's now a new name.
Beth actually says she went to Lee, asks if you're pleased at the name change.
I don't have a lot of feelings about the new name. I know it was time to change the name of that school. And some people with a lot of animosity remember that I made the motion to close that school down years ago. And I'm so happy we did, because the state would have taken over that school and we would not have the beautiful school that looks like a beautiful community college in that beautiful space right there on Lee Drive. So I'm happy about the new school.
But I stopped you in midstream when you were talking about your legacy. Anything else that you'd like to add?
Well, I worked with a lot of great people who have spent their lives working for civil justice. And I think of Franz Marshall and others at the federal courts, and he was with the Justice Department. An interesting character and a great man who spent his life working for the downtrodden, working for those who didn't have the same opportunities growing up. And we ended that desegregation suit, and we passed taxes for the first time. We got a lot done, especially my first few years on the board. A great board, I think, of Roger Moser and just all the incredible people who helped lift us up and brought us on the board.
We've got a lot of division. We only have a few seconds left in this community. What would you say, or what do you say in these final moments of your life?
I ask people to spend a little bit of time, take a little bit of time to go read a book, go Just Mercy, Slavery by Another Name. There's some wonderful books out there that give a different perspective, because we often grow up kind of isolated within our own world, and there's another world out there of people who have never had the opportunities we take for granted. And so thank you, Jim, for having me on.
Well, thank you for your bravery and for your contributions to our community and for your friendship. Thank you, Noel.